Today's episode of Backpacker Radio is a fun, chaotic episode recorded over a couple of days at Trail Days in Damascus, Virginia. This episode takes a lot of turns, involves a lot of laughter, and maybe a tad too much whiskey. The spine of this episode features a conversation between myself and our buddy Jabba, aka The Real Hiking Viking, as well as Gary Sizer and Megan Thompson of Stories from the Trail, another podcast brought to you by The Trek. Interweave throughout this episode are interviews with current thru-hikers, you might even recognize a couple of these voices, as well as a conversation with Tom Kennedy, the co-founder of Hike for Mental Health. But before we get into the show, I want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, Sawyer Products. Sawyer is the maker of a slew of essential hiker-focused products, including permethrin fabric treatment to help ward off ticks, picaridin topical insect repellent to give yourself a suit of armor against mosquitoes, the Sawyer Squeeze, which is the most popular water filtration device amongst thru-hikers, and the new Select Filters and Purifiers, which utilizes a foam absorption technology to remove chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, viruses, heavy metals, and more. Check them out at Sawyer.com or at your local outfitter. Okay, let's do this. Backpacker Radio. This is a special edition, sans Chance, which is ironic timing because I just got a text message from her. She sent me a screenshot of her most recent iTunes review, and it goes as follows. Great potential, but that's the title of the podcast or the review. This podcast has great guests and the potential for the excellent interviews, but the immaturity of the female host is really distracting. Badger should do interviews without her, as she insists on interrupting and throwing off guests with her banter. So in the spirit of that angry review, here we are.
Wow. Did Chance write that review to get out she of having have. To do this?
She spent a lot of time with me, and I could see her just running amok trying to get out of it. I get it. So usually the format of these podcasts are somewhat prepared, but we are at Trail Days right now. We just came back from a very lovely barbecue dinner.
We just came back from recording part one of this episode. Yeah, maybe.
Is that going to happen?
I haven't heard the audio yet. It might be unusable.
Yeah.
I think dinner makes it sound too nice. Dinner is like, dinner would be a little
When I say dinner, I mean there was a consistent flow of us scaring away the next table with Jabba's conversations.
Who?
Yes. So let's start off with the unfamiliar guest, at least to this podcast, is another The Trek podcast. Gary Sizer.
Oh, hi.
And Charlemagne.
Oh, hello.
Megan Voldemort. I'm sorry, I forget your last name.
Thompson.
And our last guest here is a familiar voice.
Your favorite asshole.
Yeah. I'm actually going to turn up your audio levels. This is amazing.
Are you sure you need that?
I didn't think
anything. Anyways, your favorite asshole, Jabba, the Real Hiking Viking.
Is this the final episode of that?
Yeah. Welcome to the final episode.
Yeah, this yeah. is
the final episode.
This is where we burn down the house. Okay, so
did I space out for a second, or did we not introduce me?
No, you literally spaced out.
Okay, can we introduce you a second time just to be sure?
I introduced you.
Definitely got you. Yeah,
so
bring another one.
Assuming that anyone listening to this has heard previous podcasts, which I don't like to assume because I like to think if someone's heard this before, they would know better than to come back a second time. But they probably are somewhat familiar with Jabba. If they're on Instagram, they probably know who he is. They may or may not be familiar with you guys. They should be if they're reading The Trek and consuming our awesome podcasts. But I would like for the full introduction from you both, please.
Hi, I'm Gary. I'm Gary Sizer. I'm the host of Stories from the Trail, one of the hosts of Stories from the Trail, part of thetrek.co. Zach Davis, editor-in-chief. We say that at the end of every episode.
That's a very...
as consistent as possible.
That's a way too abbreviated introduction. There's more meat on the bone.
Yeah, I feel weird, hey, here's me and what I've done, and I'm going to brag about myself for a while, but I guess I kind of have to do that.
Yeah, no one listening knows who you are.
Yeah,
maybe,
that's true.
Maybe
yeah.
a small percentage.
Well, I just assume that everybody already knows who I am anyway, and they're like, oh, this guy again?
What an asshole.
That's what everyone says to me, right?
Yeah, so I was born in Western Pennsylvania many years ago. Let's skip some parts. 2014 AT hiker, author of Where's the Next Shelter, I already said host of stories from the trail. I do a little bit. I've tried doing stand up for a couple of years. You know, like I toyed around with some material in like basement bar open mics for a while, and found out that like that's not exactly where I need to go with this.
You were saying earlier today that your nickname in high school was game show host.
Well, yeah, I had a couple of nicknames in high school. There's a one of my friend Cornball Train.
Interesting.
It was his idea to start calling me game show host, and I guess if you just listen to the way I talk, you know, like it's almost but not quite Kermit the Frog, but you can tell I'm ready to award some prizes.
Wait,
just
can I buy
time,
a vowel? Like, I'm ready to receive these prizes.
I also host a pub quiz in Asheville a couple of nights a week. Yeah. I narrate audiobooks. I used to teach.
You narrate audiobooks that aren't books that you've
written? I'm trying to get into that.
No shit.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into that. I haven't really done anything with it yet. I only just got my home studio set up and finally like the way I like it. Uh-huh. And you know, most of that was, you know, thanks to you driving this project that Megan and I have been working on.
It was like a no-brainer. If ever there was a no-brainer idea, having you host a podcast was like just the easiest thing I've ever arrived to. I would also like to give the context of how I first discovered you. I don't know if that's the right way of presenting it,
but I think
became familiar with you. Was you gained some internet fame through your his before and after picture, I think, went to the first page on Reddit. Is that right?
Yeah, the same night that I got back from, like, we took
it's
a couple
chilling.
We took a couple nights to drive back from Katahdin, so I was just like a few days off the trail, and I was going through all my pictures. You know that animated day by day beard growth selfie video that every thru hiker feels compelled to throw. You know, I made one of those. You know, and I was going through my pictures that day. That's why I have, you know, 100 and so pictures of my face. And I was going through them and I was like, oh shit. Like the one that I started with and the one that I finished with are just like game show host and caveman, you know? And I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll put this up on Reddit.
I think caveman is maybe a little bit favorable to
me. Yeah. You may have seen, you know, it's been seen like over like 4 million times now.
War.
Yeah. I went from like, so I needed to lose 20 pounds and I lost 40. So
did you need to lose weight before the trail?
I was a little, you know, I was a little pear-shaped when I started.
Okay.
Yeah. I, you know, pear-shaped. I still had my pecs and abs, but they were in there under, you know, a few, you know, about a decade's worth of software consulting food.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So that's only part of the story for the context of why I first reached out to you, because one of our bloggers was putting together a post of, I think it was the best beards on trail, or he was doing some commentary on like AT beards. And he was using your after picture, and it was something
how not to grow a beard.
It was something along the lines of like, the clown from It got rabies. And like, I didn't feel comfortable leaving that caption without getting your consent. And your response was like, that is hilarious. Please do run it. And then I knew at that point that we would be friends.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Cause like the standard reaction is, oh, you look like you did meth the whole way. You know, like I've heard that so many times and I'm like, good one. But that, you know, clown with rabies thing, I was like, wow, that is truly original. Go for it. And who are you?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't write that. I wish I could take credit for it. Zach Squatch, shout out. His name is also Zach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then our other sounds of the trail co-host is
Stories from the Trail.
What did I say?
Sounds of the Trail is a different trail. That's a different show.
Wait, I've heard of this.
Yeah.
Excuse me, because that was the subject of episode 9 with Hey Girl, you know. Stories from the Trail.
Hey Girl.
Yeah.
Hey Girl.
Megan
Hey
Girl. Voldemort Thompson.
Hey.
How's it going? Give us the full background.
Oh, the full background?
Yeah, start at the beginning, day one.
Get it up here.
Megan's in the witness protection program. She can't say too much.
Well, there was a snowstorm. 1 February. We're not gonna start.
Kathy Bates, Misery.
Oh, is this the story of your conception? Is it?
No, I was gonna go with birth.
Oh, okay.
But similar.
Can you move the mic a little bit closer? Much better.
Oh, is this better?
That's much better. Probably.
Can you hear me?
Oh my god, the audio is so good right now.
And it's weird. It's
tickling my ear right now.
I hiked the AT in 2014. Somehow wound up with a shrunk.
That sucks.
I know.
Did you call him a shrunk?
I think she said shrunk.
All right, this
which
is
would have also been a fair caption for the after picture.
Pretty sure shrunk. Is what multiple shrunk. People heard. It wasn't shrunk.
Schmuck.
It's like Shrek the schmuck and like gunk.
A schmucky, shrucky, gunky guy.
All of the words describe Gary. Sorry, Gary.
Did you know that we were just going to roast you for this entire episode, by the way?
Sorry.
Gary, sit outside for a second.
Oops.
Yeah. So yeah, we met at we were trying to remember this earlier today, like a shelter in Georgia, but I can't remember which one.
I don't know, but there were like, a bunch of flies.
Yeah, you were getting water. There was a bunch of flies, and like for the first few weeks, we were like, I'm not so sure about this Voldemort person.
Yeah.
And she, I know you were.
Because one of the first things you told me was that you told me about Katie and that she was following your hike and that you had a blog. And as soon as I heard blog, I tuned out and I was like, fuck this, I'm getting out of here.
Wow.
I don't really.
Wow.
This guy's got a blog.
I don't
it's
blame
just
you.
Just too
blame you.
Extra for me. I am out.
Wait, weren't you a writer for the Trek?
Well, I mean, for a little bit, yeah.
Whoa.
I may have had a
twist.
Social media following at that point, but that was before I ditched social media for a couple years. But
touche.
Yeah, well.
There.
And now I only have 100 followers on Instagram, and I'm like, oh,
I'm proud of
I'm doing so well.
My mom's plus 99.
My mom actually follows me on Facebook. Uh-huh. Doesn't yeah?
Not on the Instagram train.
No, she's not.
Mom, if you're listening, please still continue to never follow my Instagram account. It's all that's holding me together.
She listens to the podcast too. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
She's one of our biggest fans.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Nice. Does she listen to Zach's podcast?
I don't think so, but
she should.
She's going to have to now.
She'll have to know. This is all about, is adopting moms onto the new podcast. I don't know if my mom listens to the podcast. I will say Chauncey's mom is a big supporter.
My mom has listened to our podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Mom's nice. The best.
We're big with moms,
yeah.
Apparently.
She's not very big on what I say in our podcast.
We're going to get to your intro in a second. Megan, there's more meat on the bone.
No, what do you want from me?
More meat on the bone.
I hiked for a bit. I was homeless. I loved it. And then I went into the working world and Gary said, what is it? Like last year sometime.
About Christmas time we started.
Yeah,
so we were probably talking about it around October.
He said, hey, I'm going to do this podcast.
No, I said, we're going to do this.
Something like that. I think you asked. You invited me. Like you gave me an option to decline.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course.
But,
it's my friendship or this podcast.
Yeah, but he mentioned it and I was like, I don't know. It sounds like a lot of responsibility.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, you were our second choice.
Yeah, see? I was the second
choice. Who was the first choice?
Now, actually, you initially suggested that Katie and I do a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in that very first email. And I showed Katie and she was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Gary's
thanks,
lovely
Katie.
Wife,
that's how she
passed out on the bed, maybe half watching hockey right now.
Thanks, Katie. I appreciate it. I really like it. We have scheduled times to show up and hang out with cool people and just talk.
Totally.
Yeah, I was so excited when you proposed that idea because I was like, you know, this is Megan. Every time Megan and I, we went like a year without talking to each other after the trail.
Yeah.
And like the very first time we talked to each other, like an hour and 45 minutes on the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the next time we saw each other in person, like, oh, 3 hours has gone by.
Yeah. Oops,
and it just, you know, turns out you put us in the same space together or connect us in some way. And it's, maybe somebody wants to hear this. I don't know.
Sometimes it's funny.
We actually had a running joke on the trail that like we would like come up onto shelters and just like, you know, just we're aware of how we are. Like we kind of
we know we're in our own world and people are looking and going, what's happening?
Yeah. So we're like,
are
they
talking or
talking
is it
to themselves
are
at each other?
Exactly.
I'm
what
picturing
it
something very strange right now.
But you know, we'd come up on a shelter and like, I wonder who's going to be there. I wonder who's going to be the audience for today's episode of the Gary and Megan Show or the Megan and Gary. Then like it started.
So you had a podcast before there was a podcast.
Yeah,
we would just
before there was an audience or any recording devices.
Yeah.
We would do this without microphones or anyone else in the room.
Yeah.
Just
We're here with one of my favorite AT people. Could you introduce yourself, please?
Tom Kennedy, Vice President and Co-Founder of Hike for Mental Health.
Tom, I don't even know. What is your trail name?
Doing It.
Doing It.
Yeah.
How'd you get that?
We were hiking on the AT, and I said to the people I was hiking with, I said, I can't believe I'm finally doing it. I'm doing it. And they're like, that's it. That's your trail name, Doing It.
So I know you've hiked all over the place. What year did you first hike the AT?
1980.
And have you hiked it since?
Just sections of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first I want to hear more about Hike for Mental Health. I'm obviously aware of it. You've done articles on the trek before, but for anyone who might not be familiar, you could tell us more about it.
We're a nonprofit organization. We're all volunteer. Nobody gets a salary. Nobody gets their expenses paid. And we raise money for mental health research and also the AT and the PCT. Last check we gave the ATC was for $11,250.
Wow.
The PCT gets the same amount. 10% of what we raise goes to the ATC, 10% goes to the PCT, 80% goes to the Brain and Behavior Research Foundation. They're in New York, and they give $50,000 grants to scientists that are on the cutting edge of mental health research but have not been funded yet. Once they get funded, it's a lot easier for them to get funded again. And we're also trying to eliminate the stigma of mental illness. You know, when I was a kid, there was a major stigma about breast cancer. If a woman had breast cancer, nobody ever talked about it or anything. Now it's saved the tatas. That stigma is completely wiped out. In my lifetime, I've seen it go. And that's what we're trying to do also with mental health.
Very interesting. And then, so what is your fundraising model?
We basically have hikers that sign up to hike the AT, and they sign up and then they set up their donation page. And then basically they just tell all their friends and relatives what they're doing. And their friends and relatives go to their donation page and make a donation. 100% of what's donated goes to the cause. So if you have somebody makes a donation of $100 with a credit card, we pay the processing fee out of our own pocket. So 100% goes. We have one hike a year, the hike to Oktoberfest at Bear Mountain, and that one there, and everybody's aware of it, that the funds for that go to help offset our operating expenses. When we first started, our operating expenses were $2,000 a year. Now they're over $17,000 a year.
Yeah. And how do you make this work personally? You said you don't take a salary and then you're paying the extra processing fees. Like, how do you, as a person that needs to pay bills, how do you make this work?
Well, it's I'm hooked up with very good people. The other co-founders are very good. They're very successful people. And so that's how it works that way. You know, I'm retired right now, and so I'm more or less like the face of, you know, of Hike for Mental Health.
Yeah. You know? And you live a pretty basic lifestyle, right? You're like, you're still pretty active hiking. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I just finished up 2.5 months at Top of Georgia, working on Top of Georgia. I'm here at Trail Days, and then I'll go home to Texas for 2 weeks. And then I head up to Cindy Ross, who you probably know Cindy Ross. Yep. She's a triple crowner, her husband. And I house it up in Port Clinton area for them. And it's kind of neat because it's like a vacation for me. And I get to hang out with the hikers again for, you know, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know?
Cindy's amazing. And she's got a lot of really good hiking books.
Yeah.
So you said you hiked the AT in 1980.
Yeah.
And you're still very active in the community today. How would you describe the changes between 1980 and today?
Well, when we originally were going to hike the Appalachian Trail, my friend Teddy and I, we didn't really know what we were doing. There was no internet or anything like that. And we basically just hitched down to Georgia and started hiking, thinking that it was an old carriage trail. And after about 8 miles, we realized it wasn't an old carriage trail. And we sat down and talked, you know, do we want to quit now? This is not what we thought it was, you know. And we decided just to keep going until it wasn't fun anymore. And, you know, we had crappy days, just like every hiker has crappy days, you know, but overall it was pretty good.
Yeah.
We didn't actually, you know, I'm not going to say it was a complete through hike, you know, there was a few sections that we missed, you know, but we did a big chunk of it.
Yeah. How would you say the culture and community has changed during that time?
It's changed immensely. I mean, back then it was very few people. We didn't even know what a through hike was when we started. Mm-hmm. We saw a lot less people. And now the trail is just swamped with people. There's no longer a bubble anymore. It's just a continuous wave, that goes on. At Top of Georgia down there, we were selling out pretty much all of March, all of April, and the beginning part of May. I mean, they just kept coming, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a really much, much crowded trail right now, you know. Yeah. They've also added a lot of switchbacks that weren't there, you know, back in 1980.
Right.
So the trail was considerably harder back then, too, you know.
I'm sure we've got Bob Peoples to thank for that.
What's that?
I'm sure we've got Bob Peoples to thank for that.
Yes, exactly.
So is there any advice or, you know, vital information that you think new hikers should know about before they get on trail?
Well, for people that are going to attempt a through hike, we usually tell them when you start off, until you get to Winding Stair Gap, which is about mile 69, about a mile 100 or so, right around there, that you really should be just be going like 10, 11 miles a day. We've seen so many blown out knees, you know, people just, they feel good and they just go and they do 18 and then another 18. And next thing you know, they're going to see the doc in Hiawassee because their knees are blown out, you know. But if you just take your time, the big days are going to come. You get up to New Jersey, you'll go through New Jersey in 3 days. I mean, it's 78 miles and you'll just be whipping through it. So just don't push it. Those days are going to come. And the other thing is, the biggest regret that I hear from through hikers is they say, I wish I would have taken more time. You know, they get into the mode, got to get the miles, got to get the miles. You know, next thing you know, they're at Katahdin, and then it's over. Right. You know, I did the Florida Trail in 2015. And, you know, it's impossible to walk the entire state of Florida. Yeah. And that's the attitude I had when I started it, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're at the last orange blaze and it's over, you know. But we did take our time on that one. Mm-hmm. And that was nice. So, you know, take your time, look around and experience it and, you know, enjoy the trail. It's not just about getting to Katahdin. You know, that's the end result. But, you know, it's, I hate to say it, but it's the journey, you know. Yeah. It really, truly
the journey
is.
Is the destination.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
It's very sage know. Advice. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time.
All right.
I enjoyed chatting with
All
you.
All right, Zach. Yeah. Thanks. It's nice. Always nice seeing you.
Yeah, likewise.
It's great to be able to do it and have people actually show
listen,
up.
Listen, show up. Show up.
Show up.
I did the air quotes.
We're going to do air quotes.
Everyone not show watching, up. Which is everyone.
Because I know that a lot of people listen and then they just tune out while driving.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you turn into up. A drinking game is because they get engaged. Like when I mentioned the AT drink, or at least me hiking the AT. I
Which do have you to never, say, ever did, by
nope,
the way.
Never, especially never. Not in 2011.
Especially not now.
I do have to say, so the context for recording this, we are all at Trail Days right now, and we're through the first day of Trail Days, and I had no fewer than a dozen people come up to the booth today and be like, hey, did you hike the AT?
It's you're doomed now, man. It's yeah. That in what Ginger Squad or Cinnamon?
Cinnamon Connection.
What's the other weird spice?
We had the turmeric team.
That's it, turmeric.
Ooh, I actually like the turmeric team.
I like
best.
That.
Yeah.
Because I was mentioning
nice,
in a podcast.
Nice hard R in there, by the way. The turmeric. Yeah.
Well, I'm from Pennsylvania. We like to say ours up there.
And it didn't sound today's anything at all third like guest is a voice that you're very familiar with. If you haven't listened to episode 1 or 4,
don't.
You're.
Yeah. Or watch Zach or I hike the whole PCT like a bunch of buffoons.
This is true. But let's give some new context. So since the last time you were on, you've been just training your ass off.
True.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, bro?
What's up? I have been, well, I've been training for your wedding.
Training for my wedding? What does that mean?
The last time I wasn't training, it was at your bachelor party.
This is true.
Training his liver is what he meant.
Yeah, not true.
Do you want to show up with six-pack abs?
Yeah.
Steal my fiance.
So, no, I spent the winter in the Tetons, staying focused on diet and exercise. I've been training for what is amounting to ultimately training for the Barkley Marathon in early next year, but I have slotted myself to give the old Colorado Trail speed record the old college try.
Is this the first public mention of it?
Well, not really.
Aside of your Instagram?
No, I think I first technically publicly mentioned it in episode 1.
Oh, right, that.
Definitely said it then.
Yeah. I think you said you were thinking about it. Like, you hadn't fully...
Yeah. You mentioned is the
point. Yeah, so, but now you're for real, like, you're...
I mean, I've been working my ass.
That's a thing that you write about, like, publicly letting people know that you're going to do something to add that layer of accountability.
The accountability. Right? Yeah. Also, but also in FKT culture, that's a requirement.
True.
Like, that's in order to actually qualify for an FKT, you have to publicly state it on, like, the FKT pro board. Am I... Correct in that?
You are correct.
Okay. So you guys have too many rules for me.
It's not my rules. This is
its
own thing.
They're not our rules.
And yeah. For those of us who don't know what FKT is.
And who are these people?
They're not allowed in this podcast.
Get them off.
So FKT is fastest known time. It's just basically the speed record. Yeah. So there's different classifications of it. And actually, Jabba corrected me today because you're going for the self-supported, unsupported.
No, unsupported.
Unsupported record.
Speed record.
Which is?
It's like 9 days... 12 hours, and
put it in your mouth.
put the, he's motioning me.
So I have a,
motioning
I have a question.
To me for me to put the microphone in my mouth because it's not close enough, and basically I have to put this microphone in my mouth for you to hear me.
That's correct. You, everyone knows.
This isn't anything new for me.
But. Zach, you said self-supported. Jabba, you corrected unsupported. Is that a difference, or was
there
that
is a difference?
Because they sound the same to me.
They might. And the difference is that self-supported is what somebody would do on a long hike, like a, you know, 1,000 plus hike, like the Appalachian Trail would be a self-supported hike where you self-support yourself to go resupply by walking your happy ass into town.
Okay. And
resupplying at the post office or the grocery store where you're picking food up. But unsupported means there is no means of any support whatsoever. So meaning you are carrying everything that you need for the entire hike in your pack from the beginning, and you don't need a single ounce of any extra help.
So you don't stop, basically.
You don't stop, you don't resupply, you don't accept help from others, rides, this, that, the other. It is all in your pack, and you are going until the end.
And what's the time to beat?
9 days, 12 hours, and some odd
and
minutes.
And what's the mileage?
485.
485?
Is it 485? I'm almost positive.
Well, shit.
Something close to that.
Huh. Yeah, I'm much more comfortable doing like 6 weeks to do that.
So the common time for a Colorado Trail through hike is about a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, really?
So okay. it's generally like referred to as a 500-mile trail.
Yeah, for sure.
But and I think it's more like 495 actually.
I'll get on the Google machine
look,
right
look
now.
Look it up, please. Yeah. I mean, I've been using the number 500, and
what's
if it's less than that,
like?
That only helps me. You know, like, I don't care. It's just shy of 90,000 miles. Just shy of 90,000 feet of elevation gain total over that.
Okay.
Which is pretty significant.
So not a ton of this?
No,
more,
a ton of that.
More.
It's both. It's both. Oh, okay, so you're... She's motioning with her hands, like rolling.
Oh yes, I'm motioning for elevation gain and loss.
There's a lot of elevation gain and loss, but it's like switchback graded climbs mostly.
It's on par with the PCT, I'd say, right?
I would say that.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to the PCT.
I haven't been on the PCT or to Colorado, so I'm trying to compare this to say the AT.
The AT
for
is
time
a lot more
wise,
up
because
down.
I know
the AT is a lot more like straight up and down. But not like at altitude.
I see.
Not at high altitude, rather.
So according to the Wikipedia, which is not always right, it's 486.
I'm going to go to the Colorado Trail website.
Okay, we can just fact check each other for the entire episode. So the thing I'm most curious about with this, with the unsupported aspect, is your food strategy. Because carrying 9 days worth of food,
it
especially at that kind of an output.
It is something. And by the way, so one aspect of like doing this is... As a courtesy to the person who has the record before you, you adhere to like kind of
how they did it.
How they did it. In terms of like designation of like, did you walk into town, this, that, the other, like whatever rules you adhered to before you adhere to for the next person and so on and so forth. And so to be honest with you, like I have to talk to that person and like be like, hey, so did you carry 9 days of food or did you like, you know, in terms of the pro board, the actual pro board says unsupported record for this person's. And by the way, the guy's name is John Zahorian, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope. Anyways,
he's a popular guy in our community.
Yep.
He's the creator of
John Z
Pack.
Is what everyone just calls him.
Yep. He's got a popular YouTube channel. And I also think he's got a podcast, the Routes podcast, I believe. Admittedly, I haven't listened to it, but I've heard good things about it.
Right on.
So have you put much thought into your food strategy for this?
Because
my thinking is like, you want to front load your consumption so you can get your pack lighter faster.
True.
But like, then do you get yourself into a pickle because you don't have, you're eating like three pro bars for the last 2 days?
Yeah. I mean, I've given it thought to the point of knowing that fuel is important and that I need it. as far as the actual caloric breakdown per day,
yeah.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm still focused more on the getting my body prepared for doing 50.
That's the important
miles
part
every day
for sure.
Know? And then those details, which by the way, my nutrition is a very important part of all of that physical preparation, and like that plays a key role. And how I'm experiencing my training
physiologically with my nutrition is a key role in how I will determine what is important for me at that time.
What was your longest day on the AT?
37.
Holy shit. For a first through hike?
Because we did.
Yeah. Well, I had a longer day. Lemmy and I.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. After, up in the 100 mile wilderness.
Yeah. So Lemmy and I don't even remember what that was.
So yeah, my longest day was with Megan.
Yep.
And that was when we were coming into Irwin and then up through Roan Highlands. Yep. And
that was 36.
It wound up being like 36.9 or something like that.
So 37.
But it was interesting because we did it. We were trying to hike away from someone.
Yeah.
We found ourselves in one of those situations where, like, oh, there's this guy who's like always at camp that was
Tick.
Yeah. That wasn't his actual trail name. No, we called him Tick.
I know what his actual trail name is, but yeah. Let's not throw him under the bus. But we
actually, it's in the book. We've already thrown him under the guy under the bus.
Yeah, but only to tens of thousands of people.
it's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
It's fine. Think about it. Is he really going to go out and buy the book?
I don't know. But yeah, this dude, like, his name was Bandit. We called him Tick because he just latched on and sucked.
Gross. Oh, shit. I'm now wondering if that's my trail name to certain people.
You never know.
Yeah, but we just, like, every single night we would think, like, oh, we're finally out of his reach, and we'd be at the shelter, and finally we were just like, fuck it, we're just going to just turn on the jets and just hike all night. Mm-hmm. And we wound up going up Roan High Knob in, like, a sideways thunderstorm at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we thought we'd get a little bit of sleep, and we wound up, like, huddled in a...
outside some bathrooms. Gary slept inside a bathroom.
Yeah, it was my first time ever. That was my second or third time ever sleeping in a bathroom. Mm-hmm. First time on trail.
It's a rough go. I've done it once, and I feel like I got very fortunate because it's a pretty clean bathroom. We've talked about it on a previous episode, so I'm not going to go there. But like, what is your spectrum of bathroom sleeping experiences?
I slept in the bathroom. The first time I ever slept in a bathroom was on the way down to Parris Island. You know, because the in processing at MEPS in Pittsburgh was like 18 hours of, turn your head and cough, and then they put you on an airplane.
Which
and
was
I was
his favorite part.
We had like 10 minutes, and I was like, oh, I just need a nap. And I ran into the bathroom and just sat on the shitter and just put my head in my knees and just for a second. That was the first time I ever slept in a bathroom.
Interesting.
Yeah. Everyone's got a good bathroom sleeping story, right?
I got several.
Okay.
I remember when you planted the seed in my head that that's what we were going to do. And I'm like, no, fuck no, dude. And then it was such a no-brainer when we got there.
By the way, that was a legit no-brainer the first time I mentioned it to you.
Yeah.
For me, I had a broken tent that was frozen in my pack. And I was like, I am sleeping in that bathroom. Don't care what's in it. Don't care what condition it's in. Don't care. In that bathroom. For sure.
That was a really rough night.
That was a rough night.
Yeah.
It's a rough, like, and it's a day. The rough day. It was a rough morning. It was a rough all of it.
Yeah. We don't have to rehash it, but.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 4, I think.
Yeah, 4.
Megan, I cut you off. Your big day with Lemmy. Well, that was like 50 or 50 plus.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was. It was like 36 hours of hiking straight. Lemmy did take a nap. He broke down and took a nap.
What was the inspiration for 36 hours hiking?
A town.
It was Gary, actually. It was Katahdin and Gary.
Uh-huh.
Aww.
Wait, who's Lemmy? Oh, so you were trying to catch up to Gary.
We were trying to catch up. And
this guy's going to be an author. He's going to be a podcaster. I need to get on this train.
We were in the 100 mile. And
I had her wallet.
I pickpocketed her and she's coming to hurt me. Going to cut me.
We were in the 100 mile and we heard that Gary was not too far ahead of us. And we're like, he's probably going to be summoning Katahdin. But we were like, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
Also, his birthday was coming up, too.
Uh-huh.
So we were like, let's figure this out that we can be there for the summit date and for his birthday.
Uh-huh.
And it involved my dad beating us in the 100-mile
to death.
Meeting us in the 100-mile wilderness twice.
Uh-huh.
So he met us at, was it Joe Mary Road?
Is that the name of the A-Ball Bridge?
Roads have names in the 100-mile wilderness?
Yes,
Ironworks Road. There's Joe Mary Road.
Yeah, so I think it was Joe Mary Road, and he dropped off some food. I had already passed through there because I'm a jerk, and I was like, see you later, Dad. You're not here. I'm going to keep hiking.
Like, you guys had like a rainstorm that flooded all of Lemmy's gear or something, and he was like,
We were hiking through it. Like, we didn't really stop.
Maybe a Ford that got his shit wet, maybe?
I forget
exactly. There was rain that we were hiking through, and it was nighttime, so we had you know, we paused at Antlers campsite, continued on, and then my dad met us. He, you know, he's from Maine, so he got all the right maps and found a little spot where he could go in and meet us, and he met us halfway through that, I think, after we had already done maybe 20 miles or so.
And we hadn't seen each other in, like, it had been, like, at least 800 miles.
Yeah.
So
that's a long break.
Yeah. I mean, like, so I think we started to say at the beginning of the hike, we were both kind of like, I don't know about this Voldemort chick, you know. Yeah. And then, like, right as we finally were like, oh, I guess we're friends.
Yeah, things...
We split up.
They just diverged. You know, like, it's just a natural split. Like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing this.
Yeah, and hike your own hike.
We'll,
you know?
Yeah, we'll meet up, like, in a few days. Yeah. And then the few
it
days...
It just never happened.
Never happened.
It sounds like a rom-com. I feel comfortable saying that because your wife is in the room. But, like, just as soon as we found that spark, we were divided.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of was. It's our hiking rom-com.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah.
Aww. That's so cute.
But, yeah, but, you know, and it's also, and we talked about this earlier, too, when we were on the trail together, like, a lot of people actually thought that Megan and I were a couple or that we were married.
We hiked through a campground somewhere, and this lady with a camper and a wolf shirt, like a three wolf shirt, like asked.
Three wolf moon.
The three wolf moon shirt. Yeah, yeah.
Classic.
She shirt. Said something, like, made a reference. Oh, your husband. And I was like,
yeah. I mean, yeah. So, like, we became really good friends, and we didn't see each other for like 800 miles. And I had no idea. I had almost given up. I almost thought, like, I'm never going to see Megan. We got to talk about Lemmy for a while.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I guess we'll catch up after the trail or whatever. And then they just come. I got to what's the campground at the bottom of Katahdin? Not, is it Birches?
Able Bridge.
Or
nope, it was the
shelter at the
Katahdin Stream.
Katahdin Stream shelter. Yeah. So Katie had driven up from North Carolina, and she had, you know, like, car full of food and, like, you know, ready to celebrate. Like Megan said, it was my birthday. You know, and I got there and Katie was there, and I was just like, oh, this is the best day ever. I haven't seen my wife in months. I was so happy, you know, and it's just amazing. And then just out of nowhere, I hear Green Giant. And I turn around and Megan just, like, charges out of the tree line and just, like, tackles both
running.
Of us.
I was actually, like, I was jogging that last section between A-Ball Bridge, where I dropped all my stuff off with my dad, and Katahdin Stream Campground.
Lemmy comes shuffling up a little while later. His pack is bouncing on him. He's trying to run. You know, he's like, Green Giant. She was like the Terminator. She would not stop for anything. You know, and it was like this.
Yeah.
I seriously,
wanted to take a break.
Like,
I seriously didn't give Lemmy
cried.
A break.
I legit cried when, I mean, they hiked like 50, what, three?
I'm
53
cry.
Miles?
I think it was
just to catch up with what, me?
If you start off by introducing, what's your trail name?
My trail name is Handstand.
And how did you get that?
I do handstands on all of the mountain summits and take pictures. So that is what my Instagram is all about.
How many handstand photos do you have, would you say, right now?
In my life, I have no idea. Hundreds. But I've maybe done, I don't know, like 30, 40 on the trail so far. Mm-hmm. And my big thing is in New Hampshire, we have the 48 4,000 footers. So I'm trying to get a handstand picture on each of those summits. So I think I have 22 maybe so far.
Ambitious.
Yes.
Are you big into yoga?
I wouldn't say I'm big into it, but I do a lot of different activities, and yoga would be one of them. Okay. For sure.
So I guess it's worth stating for context that Liz was and maybe will be still eventually a very popular blogger for the, or vlogger rather, for the trek and blogger.
Yes.
So you might recognize her voice that way. But I'm curious, what is your favorite story from your hike thus far?
My favorite story from my hike thus far. He's putting me on the spot here, by the way. So let me think about this for one
second.
That's
the whole point.
I saw a bear, my first bear the other day. So it maybe isn't like the most exciting bear story compared to other people's, but it was exciting for me. Absolutely. It was my first one. I've been like really nervous about seeing one. I met this ridge runner named Chloe in the Smoky Mountains. So a lot of people have heard of her. And she, had this whole story where, a bunch of them got not attacked by a bear, but their stuff and their tents got attacked from a bear. And so I hung out with her one night. She told me the whole story in detail. It was like an hour-long story about this aggressive bear in the Smokies. And ever since then, I've been so spooked by it. Yeah. So I'm so good about hanging my food every night and everything. So anyways, the other day, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. I was hiking completely by myself. I started to get out my camera to do a video. So I was just talking to my phone, and the sound of my voice must have spooked a bear. there.
Yeah.
So it was maybe 100 feet away from me, and it took off like a shot. It looked kind of small at first, and I thought it was a dog. Just the way it ran, I couldn't believe how fast it was. So it was really cool.
Your YouTubing might have saved your life.
I know, exactly. I was thinking that. Like, everyone's like, you know, talking about vlogging taking away from it in a way, and I really don't think it does anyways, but it totally saved my life in that situation, because I was about to actually hike down into kind of like a little valley where it was, and had I not said anything, I might have been much closer to it when I scared it, and that could have been bad.
Yeah. And last question is a simple one. What's your favorite piece of gear so far?
My favorite piece of gear is really, it's my pack. I have the Hyperlite 3400 Southwest, and I love it so much. It's so comfortable. It's lightweight. It fits all my stuff, no problem. And Hyperlite is just such an awesome company. They're good people, and they're pretty local to me at home, so shop local.
And it's black.
And it's black, yeah. That definitely, I would like to not admit publicly that is important to me, but it is. I have, everything is all black every day.
Yeah, you hear that, gear manufacturers. Ladies want more of the drab colors.
Give me some black shoes. I don't have any black shoes. That's my only thing.
Yeah. And where can people follow your hike?
So I was vlogging here on the trek on YouTube. And then I also have Instagram. It's at Liz Kidder, LizKidder.
Liz, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is the part of the show where I usually have questions lined up, and I'm going to have to drink a Yingling and think about it. But so I want to reminisce a little bit on that dinner that we all just shared together, because that was a special experience.
Yeah.
I want to go into... Special is the right word.
Why? What happened?
This is a podcast for backpacking, but there was a lot of military talk. It was fun to have you guys translate the lingo that you were using, because there's a lot of times where you guys are just talking in conversation and you just use acronyms that just go right over my head, and then like either Megan or Katie will step in and be like, no, that means blah blah blah. But there is some really meaningful conversations. I don't know if I want to rehash them, but I'm curious what the thread between the military and thru hiking is, if there is one.
I don't know if I have a very like powerful, like meaningful statement to go along with that. I just can only say that my energy that was good for that, for the Marine Corps, is the same energy that is good for through hiking.
That will serve you well in your FKT. I will, especially, you have that crazy meter where like you can push yourself to, I forget who it is. There's a famous, I want to say like weightlifter or endurance athlete. I'm already regretting saying what I'm saying because of how ignorant I sound, but he's saying
someone's knocking on the door right now.
Could be Jersey.
It's got to be Jersey.
Hey, and now we have a guest.
So this break is brought to you by Gossamer Gear. All right, where were we? Let me retrace. I think it's David Goggins. He holds like the world record for the most amount of push-ups in a day, the most amount of pull-ups. He's got a crazy story. Just Google David Goggins, Joe Rogan. He's got a ridiculous podcast on him.
It's a weird name.
But his quote is, most people give up at 40%. Jumpa. I might be misattributing the quote, but I feel like you're a person that can attest to that, because
I've given up at 20% before, but not with the shit that matters to me.
Sure. And if that's the truth, I don't think I've ever even seen 80% in my entire life. Like, I don't even
from me know, or anyone
from myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I feel like
I disagree.
I feel like you're gonna search. I feel like you're gonna find your 100%.
I've been trying to find the bottom or the top, whichever you want to call it.
Yeah,
I've been trying to find the bottom for a long time.
Yeah,
I've been trying to find the bottom in some of the wrong like avenues before. But right now, I've been looking for the bottom in the right places.
So through hiking is honing that energy into a positive direction. Yeah. Okay, if you could start off by telling us your trail name.
My name is Wilt.
Wilt.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilt, when did you start?
I started March 22nd.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What has been your favorite moment on trail so far?
So this just happened the other day at Burke's Garden General Store. We just went down there for a real quick, like, cinnamon rolls. They have burgers, best cinnamon rolls I've ever had in my entire life. But the guy who was like going to give us a shuttle back, it was like an Amish store, and he goes, do you want to ride back in my horse and buggy? And we're like, yes, 100%.
Horse and buggy hitch. I've never heard that.
Yes.
Before.
So we got an hour. It was like a 20-minute ride. It took an hour and a half in the horse and buggy, but it was so fun. We just like chatted with this Amish dude and it was so great.
That's
like,
awesome.
Best hitch ever.
Horse and buggy hitch. All right. And then last question for you. This is a quickie. What's been your favorite piece of gear so far?
My Patagonia R1 hoodie.
Yeah. Very versatile.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm a cold person, so it's nice that I can hike in that. I haven't really been doing that lately, but I sent my, like, everybody's keeping their puffies. I sent mine home because I was like, this, my fleece keeps me plenty warm. It's definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
With the hood. Don't go without the hood, though.
Yeah, sure. The balaclava style right up to the
mouth. And when it was cold outside, that was so great. I was like, just have my little eyes out. So perfect.
Right on. Cool. Well, that's it. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Fair.
I think so.
But I totally took that conversation in the wrong direction because I wanted to know how the military... I want to hear Gary's take on this.
Sorry, if you're asking, like, did the military have any...
That's a common question.
Prepare me in any way or, you know, what's...
If there's a common thread.
Thread. So, yeah, so it's kind of weird. In my case, I would say there is because I kind of accidentally hiked the AT and I also accidentally joined the military.
Okay.
Like I found myself in a circumstance in my life at the time, like when I joined the Marine Corps, yeah, I just dropped out of college, you know, like, and I was that honors kid who thought like, oh, I don't need to try, you know, and I got to college and was like, oh, well, never mind. And I wound up, you know, like working at a restaurant. And then my brother became a recruiter and he's like, join the Marines. So I did, you know, it was never like a big dream of mine.
That's
just,
all it took.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was kind of, you know, it was a challenge. Uh-huh. You know, my brother was, he was kind of a, he was kind of a dirtbag when we were growing up. You know, he was that, like I said, I was the honors kid. I did math and stuff. My brother like smoked and worked on cars, you know, and like slept in. And I was like, wow, if that, you know, fat little turd could turn into, you know, look how look at him standing up straight, being polite, like getting
things accomplished. That little turd is very Marine Corps.
Yeah. I saw that transformation of my brother and I was when I say inspired, I thought, well, if they could do that with him, imagine what they could do with me to work with. So, yeah. So like I went in, I was in the Marines and like, people say, oh, you the Marines made you energetic and organized and, you know, and aggressive. And I was, you know, no, I just did okay in the military because I was already energetic, organized, and aggressive. I didn't really
mean, are you an aggressive person?
Not like physically aggressive, but, you know, like pretty much everything I do, I find myself not necessarily of my own volition, I just kind of accidentally realized, like, oh, I'm trying to be the best at this.
Uh-huh. You attack things.
Like, yeah, no matter you what really I get into, I'm like, things. Okay, I'm either going to do this, like, until the wheels fall off or not at all.
I don't know anything that you do that you don't do really well.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
But, and I think that's
maybe take a compliment.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe not spill your glass of water.
You're not supposed to say nice things about me. I know.
We're going to balance it out with all the hate.
Oh, shit. You didn't want to say nice things about yourself to start this podcast.
Well, I've had a beer since. So, okay.
No, is that all?
Yeah.
But
so like when I hiked the AT, it kind of the same thing happened where, you know, like, oh, I'm going to do this someday. I'm going to do this someday. And I kind of like just went, oh, shit. Like someday's never going to happen. I just better do this now. And literally 3 weeks after I decided I was on trail. Mm-hmm. So like I was still figuring out things as I went, but I was also like every single thing that happened that should have sent me home. My initial reaction was like, I need to find some way to stay out here to just, you know, and I kind of attacked that in the same way, not, you know, again, physically aggressively, but you know, I kind of like made it my sole focus in life. So the parallel between how I approached the military and how I approached my through hike are kind of the same. But I don't think you can say that universally for – you can't just take anyone out of the military and put them on the trail and they'll do well. In fact, the opposite is almost usually true.
People that are in the military typically don't do well on trail?
Not until they meet Miss Janet. You know, because you see a lot of people starting the trail with – you know, like the Alice pack and the combat boots. Uh-huh. And there's this kind of mentality
love those
in the military
boots.
That's like the bigger the pack, the bigger the sack, you know, like there's some testosterone or some bragging rights that come
the
with
the bigger
like,
the pack. The
heaviest, you got your little 36 liter.
What about it?
Nothing.
The bigger the pack, the tougher the sack. Is that what I heard?
I didn't want to derail that. Okay, so
fatter the sack.
So there's like a false machismo associated, or like a maybe.
There's a real machismo too, but yeah. You know, in some cases it's exaggerated. Okay. Whether the person you know expressing it realizes. So.
Okay, today we are joined by, what's your trail name?
Squeaks.
Squeaks. When did you start?
I started February 26th.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot. What's been your favorite moment on trail so far?
On the whole trail?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Or best story. It could be good or bad.
That was really on the spot. I think just... So when we were hiking in February, we were walking up Muskrat Creek Shelter, and it was like our coldest night on trail. It was like, I think it got down to like -3 that night.
Wow.
And it was just going to get colder and colder and colder. And we were right outside of Franklin, and these like two awesome girls, Danica and Jordan, like were like, hey, we'll give you a ride in. We're section hiking. We're going out. Like, we'll get you out of the cold weather for the next 3 days if you want to ride. And we were like, yeah, like that'd be awesome. Thank you so much. And we were sitting by this creek and like talking about plans to get into town. And there was this guy that we like had no idea who he was. And he's like, hey, like I have service. Like he's the only one who had service. And he's like, if you give me a ride in, like I'll book a hotel for us and it'll be great. And we're like, yeah, sure. That'd be great. And he ended up like calling, a hotel, and like we got service, and we ended up like he ended up booking it for us. And at that motel was this girl there who got off trail because her dad got off trail, and it was awesome because I had no idea who these people were. Like they were just strangers and I didn't know them, and I was just sharing a motel room with them for the night, and we ended up hiking 500 miles together to where we are now. And that was like the start of my tramly. It's like we had no idea what was gonna happen. Yeah. Like we were just trying to get out of the cold, and you end up being like best friends with these people.
Uh-huh.
So that was just kind of crazy how that all happened. Yeah. So nicely.
Saying over dinner that you really wanted structure in your life, and that was what interested you in the military.
Yeah, it was the structure and the hierarchy. Yeah, I like clearly defined goals and orders, and I didn't realize I was such a goal chaser.
Uh-huh.
Until my best friend told me, because I just apparently make a contest with myself out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
I mean, it works for me, but you know, I will say something like, I need to, even if it comes down to something as simple as like, I need to eat one salad a day. I'll make it a goal.
Sure.
It's like something I've got to check off a box because if I have a checklist, I'm also the person who likes to check things off, and I've done something, I'll add it to the checklist after just so I can check it off. So that's how I learned I'm really goal oriented.
Yeah.
And the hierarchy and the goals that were in the military were appealing.
We've got three other thru hikers with microphones here. If you've read my book, you know my thoughts. I'm assuming you didn't read my book, so maybe I'll chime in afterward, but I'm curious to know, do you think it's important to be goal-oriented as a thru-hiker?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, for me, it was beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you approach thru-hiking with the goal in mind, I am going to thru-hike, I am going to get to Katahdin, you're going to have problems because you might not be able to. There might be something that happens in your life.
It does take luck. Absolutely.
There might be an injury or something.
Sure.
And it's much more difficult to deal with that when you cannot accept constant change.
Okay.
You have to be able to still adapt and accept constant change.
Totally agreed.
Because you might ruin your body.
I'm going to chime in as the devil's advocate after I let these two guys talk.
You guys want to?
Which two guys?
You two.
Wait, who are they talking about?
Oh,
are we still talking?
Let me rephrase the question. Or not rephrase it, restate it. Do you think it's important to be goal-oriented in the context of thru-hiking?
For, you know, it depends on what you consider a goal, I would
say. Or completing a thru-hike.
See, I think it's not important to have that be the goal. To completing a thru-hike, I don't think the goal should necessarily be thinking about the goal, which is the end of the line, which is Katahdin or Mexico or Canada or whatever. Like I'll tell you right now, when I started that AT southbound thru hike, I wasn't thinking about Springer Mountain to completing my goal, you know, but I was being goal oriented, but not necessarily in the grand scheme of like a through hike.
Your through hike wasn't your only goal, is what you're saying.
There are multiple levels of goals, and there are multiple ways of looking at what is a goal.
I totally agree with that. I think focusing on the finish line into the context of a through hike is a
bad idea.
It's a recipe for going insane.
It's a disaster.
Yes,
absolutely. But
if you're talking about the context of a through hike, and you're thinking that that's the goal, that's not necessarily the goal. Is to complete a through hike to being successful to completing a through hike. You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
Okay. Well, I gotta go. I got a bottle of whiskey to finish.
we're all just speaking for ourselves.
I'm also speaking in like a roundabout way as well. But
I think I understand what you're saying.
I just it's
there's nothing wrong with being goal oriented, but if your only goal is
like you have
the
small
end of the
tasks
line
that are what that make small goals that you've complete every day that are what make you successful to be a thru-hiker. But if you are thinking about to be a thru-hiker, I must do these things. That's not the way, in my opinion, that most people are going to be successful on the trail.
I get it. I think I know what you're saying.
It sounds to me like you're saying you're just breaking the big goal down into smaller goals.
It's so easy to do that. And it's like, to me, it's the quickest way of being successful.
And I totally agree with you, but I still think that's goal oriented.
It is goal oriented, and that's why I'm saying that what certain people think are the goal, being goal oriented doesn't have to be the goal.
Okay, I think we're all agreeing, maybe arriving at to it.
You're probably right.
Yeah,
alcohol.
Ways. Gary,
I actually changed my stance on that question in the years since finishing my hike, with 2014. So I've had about 4 years to mull over this.
So like an enlistment.
Yeah, about that amount of time. Yeah, as much time as it takes to get promoted to Lance Corporal the right way.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing. So I remember, like, you know, towards the end of the trail, and I wrote about this in the book too. I noticed that, you know, when you run into day hikers and, you know, just like people on the trail, and they'd be like, "Oh, you going all the way?" You know, like down near Springer and even in North Carolina, people would say things like, "I'm going to try," mm-hmm. or "I'm going as far as I can." And I noticed that by the time we got to Maine, all those people were gone, and the only ones who were left were saying, "Hell yeah." Or they'd either changed their mind or, you know, changed their answer to that question or dropped out. So by the end, I was like fully on board with like, yeah, the way your mindset is at the beginning determines how, you know, whether or not you'll finish. If you go in believing that you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And you just have to say that all, you know, and I was just so hardcore into that, you know, like visualize it and make it real.
It's a disaster waiting to happen.
And what I wound up realizing, like looking back on the experience, having a couple of years to let it, you know, kind of ferment a bit, is that like, if I were to do it again, I would look at it this way now. Every single day that I'm out there, I'm just incredibly lucky to be here at all.
Sure.
And that's as far as I want to think about it. Because tomorrow I could break my ankle or get bit by something that makes me have to go home. And if I was in that previous mindset where like, yeah, I'm going all the way, and something happens that's beyond my control, it's going to crush me.
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard to deal with. But if I look at every single day as a gift, mm-hmm. you know, once it's taken away, I can now look back on like, oh, I got 37 days of consecutive bliss,
right.
not a failed attempt at a thing.
Right.
You know, so that's, I feel more like that way now. Like if you go into it with that mindset, that might even carry you farther than like being hardcore and keep
going. It's about managing expectations. Yeah. It's like a lot of things in life. You manage your expectations. It's like if you through hike the Appalachian Trail, and even if you're all into it and you've trained, if your goal is to through hike just to see the views, like that's what keeps you going.
Right.
You're going to have a rough time.
You're going to quit.
You're going to quit.
For sure.
You're going to quit.
Right.
Because it's not all rainbows and beautiful sweeping views.
So then so I want to come back to this conversation because I want to get my two cents in. But I'm curious. So what do you see as the proper expectations for maintaining that positive mentality?
There's a different answer for each person.
Sure. Well, I mean, I just want to know yours.
For me, I think being able to be adaptable. That's my biggest thing.
Okay.
That's what I focus on.
So you saw it as like a character building?
I approached it as this is a goal. This is something I want to do. But I also know that I might fail.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of people that fail.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, I saw it as failure. You know, it's I shouldn't really say failure because, hey, if you hike half of the Appalachian Trail, that is not a failure.
Yeah, no.
Like, any amount of time spent doing something you love is not a failure.
Absolutely. Getting out onto the Appalachian Trail is a success.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because there's for every person that gets out on the trail and quits, there's 100 people that don't do anything. They think about it for their entire lives and then they die.
But I honestly didn't think I thought I'd make it the whole way.
Yeah.
Like, when I started, I kind of knew I was going
to
finish.
Yeah. I want to take a quick time out because I feel like Jersey's got something to say.
I just wanted to say that...
speaking of the microphone clearly, please.
The Lone Star Hiking Trail, the longest continuous footpath, wilderness footpath in the state of Texas, that I know a few people that were okay with quitting at 20%, like you were talking about earlier.
Sometimes. Sounds like there's a story here.
I said I've quit at 20% before.
You can look your goals in the eye and just realize that's not going to happen. And it's okay.
Jersey, I'm pretty sure you were first on board with quitting that day.
Absolutely not. It is the most beautiful jewel in all of the long trail.
I want to break this down for a second. So have we talked about this on the podcast before?
Yeah, we did. That's what spurred the angry comment from some random commenter leaving a review.
Oh, okay. Well, Jersey created Jersey, aka Jonathan Schmid from Gossamer Gear. Jersey created a fake Facebook account. Created a fake Facebook account called the, what was it called?
Cambridge Analytica.
He created a fake Facebook account that was like the Lone Star Hiking Association. And he left a negative Nancy remark on Zach's podcast.
It wasn't a Facebook review. It was on iTunes. It was a negative review that was 5 stars. That's why we read it on air. Go back to a previous episode and you'll hear it. Okay, so first, what's your trail name?
I'm Yardsale.
And what day did you start?
I started February 28th.
Why are you laughing?
Because I got bronchitis and came off the trail for like 10 days.
Yikes, where did that happen?
3 days into the trip.
Fuck.
yeah, so...
Yikes.
Yeah.
How long did that take you off?
Like 10 days, yeah.
10 days,
okay. And and then I got back on and I was still coughing, but whatever.
Are you better now?
yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So your favorite story from the trail could be good, bad, just.
Okay. Let's see. There was this, I was on, I want to say on Car Mountain, maybe. It was a big mountain and it was right. It was the third snow. Like, you know how there has been like three right. freezes? It was the third one, and I was so freaking pissed. I was like, man, I swear if it freezes one more time, I'm going. I'm leaving. I am leaving the trail. I'm done. So I'm coming down the mountain, and I want to get off the mountain. I want to get down lower because it's warmer lower. So I'm kind of going a little fast, but I miss a step. And I like my trekking pole is off the side, and so I just kind of like slide like 20 feet down the mountain, and I'm laying there covered in snow and mud and bullshit and just pissed off and just like, and some there's these four trail runners and they're running on the trail and they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. Fuck you. And they keep running, and I realize that they go on a switchback. And I was like, I'm just going to flop all the way down to the next.
Slide down the mountain.
I literally flopped all the way down to the next switchback.
I do want to come back to this conversation because I think this is a good one. I don't think we've gone down this depth with, which I think is a really important thread in the thru-hiking world. Because I do disagree on a level. I think you do have to have a level of hard-headedness because, to your point, and I appreciate anyone that can have that mentality of feeling like they're lucky to be out on the trail every day because that's a really good mentality to have. But I don't know about you guys, but some of my worst days in life have been out on the trail. And if you look at it individually on any given day and you say, like, am I lucky to be out here? there are a lot of days where the answer is no. Like I would have been happier to be on my couch watching TV in the comforts of my life. True. So if you break it down on any given day and you have to ask yourself, am I lucky to be out here? There's a good chance the answer was no. And I needed a bigger perspective goal to keep me going, to keep that arrow straightened. And I don't know, maybe you guys just had a very different journey to arrive to the destination.
I think I had a couple of days on trail that I would say at the time felt like my worst day ever.
Totally. And given the perspective, maybe that's not the case. But at the time, we're like, you know, you're going through a horrible.
Do you easily recall those days?
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did not have any days that disturbing were like that. Clarity. Okay. There was not a single day where I decided I wanted to
quit. Or do you just not
the
recall them?
No, there was no day when I wanted to quit hiking the Appalachian Trail.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
I was said there was a day that was my worst.
Yes.
But my worst
day. Thank you for clarifying that.
I felt like there were other days in my life that were worse.
Okay, and maybe I'm being a little bit hyperbolic.
Yeah.
But there were a really, really, really bad day where I didn't.
There were some really bad days. Not many of them. Maybe I'm looking at this through rose-colored glasses, and that's entirely possible. But I know what you're saying about a certain type of hard-headedness.
Sure. I will say, having hiked the PCT last year, I had almost nothing go wrong the entire hike. I don't think I can recall a single day that was horrible. So maybe your AT experience was more in line with that. But maybe. I think most people that I've talked to that have thru-hiked have those really trying, just truly awful days.
Or I just forgot about the bad times.
Yeah, maybe there was enough whiskey to erase that memory.
maybe my brain just decided to remember all the good stuff.
Yeah.
What do they say? Don't quit on a bad day?
I definitely say that to people.
It's a very good saying. And yeah. Like by that definition, you'll never quit. Because like you're not going to quit it on a good day, right?
I mean, if you quit on a good day, you have talked about it with yourself enough that you realize
that you know what you're doing is not for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But if you're having enough good days,
I'm not sure that's true.
I think in life, you're eventually going to have your worst day ever.
Yeah.
So it might as well be on the trail. So just get out there as often as you can.
Sure.
There you go. You
know? Sure. Yeah. I don't know.
Or have the worst day ever in your cubicle. I don't know. It's up to you. I'll take the trail.
I feel like I have a very bizarre perspective of this conversation because of my involvement with the website. And there are so many people who quit on the trail, come home within a week or two, regret this decision, and then the people back on trail the next year. Which, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's awesome. And that there's a redeeming quality to going back and starting over again. I admire all those people. But I've talked to a lot of people. I've gotten a lot of emails from people who have thanked me for writing Appalachian Trials for talking them out of quitting on those days that are awful and continuing on with their goal where they feel like they otherwise wouldn't have, based on the advice included in that book.
So I didn't read your book until after I did the trail, but the whole time I was thinking, wow, this would have been great before. Like this would have really been helpful. And I've told you this before too on other conversations we've had, but I think that your book about the trail, about how to prepare for something like that applies to just life in general. Like if you replace the word trail.
Well, the trail is synonymous with life too.
If you do a copy paste in your book and like take out trail and replace it with build a house or learn to paint, it's kind of the same principles.
Yeah. And thank you. That's a huge compliment. And honestly, that was kind of the goal of the book and why I felt comfortable writing Pacific Crest Trials before I had hiked the PCT, because I knew that it was a metaphor that I had to use so many other times in my life. Like you have to expect the Virginia blues in life. Like anytime you're starting something new and it stops becoming fun, that's not your cue to quit at it, right? Like that's just your cue that the honeymoon phase is over with. Mm-hmm. There's so many metaphors that exist on the trail that apply to life in general. And thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. That was the goal. So now we can just play tennis with compliments.
Let's compliment Jabba for a while. He's been quiet for a bit.
You're looking awfully tan, bro.
You're looking really, really jacked, too. Yeah. Is that the paleo?
What's your body fat these days, bro?
Are you getting your macros, man?
What's your protein intake these days?
How much you bench?
Actually, let's have a real conversation about this because we were talking about, I think we were talking about this at dinner.
Nutrition?
Yeah.
Just that Jabba 2 years ago was a fat guy.
Whoa! These people don't know that. Come on, man.
I was, though.
Yeah, like we were looking at, we can pull this up on the website. Yeah. Like the original picture of the hat that I'm wearing is you, and you look like you've been stung by 100 bees. Like you're a different looking person.
Bees are honorable.
Very honorable bees.
All right, they chose me. Okay. All right.
We're taking a weird turn in the conversation. We're addressing your prior fatness, but yeah,
I'm deflecting is so, what I'm doing.
So
deflecting.
What have been the lifestyle changes between stung by 1,000 bees and now the current? You know, just
I am in a good space with my health right now, and it's because I consciously decided to be.
Yeah, you're all in. You're taking supplements like a madman.
It's all I'm doing. Literally, just lay in bed, take supplements, and it works.
No, those are suppositories.
Oh yeah. Well, there's no difference. There's no difference how you take them. You're taking them.
It's vitamin B.
Okay, we're taking another weird turn. Are you even holding the microphone up to your face? Come on, man.
How's your mental health these days?
Oh man, it honestly has never been worse. Okay. All right. Honestly, I've never felt better in life really than I kind of have been like recently. So
what do you attribute that to?
I think that diet and exercise. I don't know, man. Like some people
old school.
A whole lot of sunshine.
Yeah, I've been like super active. I've been super focused on you know, just not doing any kinds of the things in excess before that I am used to doing, whether it's like alcohol or food or sugars or just, you know, like nothing has been in excess other than, you know, like exercise. But I've kind of come out of the doldrums of injury and gradually gotten to this point here, and it's just good. I'm just, I don't know. I don't have any.
Do you think having the goal of the FKT has anything to do with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's actually really funny thing is the Colorado Trail FKT is a product of trying to train for the Barkley.
Sure. So it's all just culminating to something bigger.
It's like
things after the Barkley, which we won't get into. His face went sideways, but
we kind of have to get into it.
I don't think he wants to. Yeah.
Top secret project.
I know.
Yeah.
Jabba's writing a book.
Eventually. When it comes out, it'll come out on this podcast, right?
It'll come out.
That's a verbal guarantee. okay. So we've been chatting for a while here. I do want to wrap it up. I think we'd be remiss. You know, we're sitting here doing a Trail Days podcast, and I think we probably take for granted that people listening to this, maybe either they're familiar with Trail Days, like peripherally, or they don't know what it is at all. Because I posted something through our Facebook page a while ago and saying like, come visit our booth at Trail Days, and like someone commented being like, okay, when and where is that? Like, oh shit, I just took for granted that you guys knew what Trail Days is. So.
We forget that not all of our listeners are people who are involved with the Appalachian Trail or one just of the know long anything. Trails.
Right. Yeah. No.
Maybe they're new. I mean, some of our own listeners are people who are new to hiking and new to the outdoor experience.
Totally.
One of the things we intentionally try to avoid is they call it gatekeeping now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're just assuming, like, you know, FKT, you know, of course, everybody knows what
it's
that is.
It's excluding people without
gatekeeping.
Intending.
So basically gatekeeping means being ignorant to the fact that people don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Or even like, or I guess like the
or you're the being ignorant to the fact that people recently, might not know. What you're
okay. So like
about.
You're at Trail Days and you meet a day hiker or a section hiker and they just. Okay, you've probably heard this a bunch of times. When they're talking to you, they'll say, "Oh, I'm just a section hiker."
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of built-in gatekeeping. That
it makes me feel bad.
I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, oh, like, dude, you don't got to like say, don't like, say that. Just, like right. Dude, you're out of your hiking. Like, totally who cares agree. If I'm
totally so? And that's kind of like the opposite of gatekeeping because when we hear that, we immediately go, "No,
dude, through hiking the AT is section hiking like part of the world." You know what I mean? I mean, seriously,
that's a funny quote.
I mean, you can quote me. Right now, AT through hiking, CDT through hiking, PCT through hiking is hiking. Section hiking the world. All right, you're a section hiker of the world. What's up?
Your trail name?
Spoons.
Spoons. How did you get that?
I went into a hostel and I was really cold and I like messed up their coffee system. They had like one for mixing in the creamer and one for scooping it. And the bartender got really mad at me and yelled at me that I was named Spoons.
There you go. Which hostel is this?
The station.
Station. Where's that?
It is after the Rowan Highlands.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot here. What's been your favorite story from the trail so far? Good or bad?
Favorite story? Oh, I went to Blacksburg a couple days ago because a guy I was hiking with, his sister was graduating from there, so and it's pretty close to the trail, so we spent a night there. And the night that we spent there, we were walking around the town, and the Oscar Mayer Wienerville van was there, the hot dog thing. And then we knocked on it, and the guy came out and was like, "You guys want to come inside?" The entire inside is hot dog themed. There's mustard carpets. And the guy who drives it, apparently it's a job that you have for a year. You get it if you've like just graduated from college. And he has to talk purely in hot dog puns. So the whole time he's like, "It's a wonderful opportunity. Like, I really relish all the time I have in the hot dog van. You need a undergraduate degree to have this job."
Did he feed you?
He didn't give us hot dogs. Uh-huh. But he was like kind of off the clock. Gotcha. I don't think it was like, yeah, wasn't sure. An event or anything.
It's wonderful to meet you. I'm going to start saying that. last question is a quickie. What's your favorite piece of gear?
My favorite piece of gear. My favorite piece of gear is... my mom sewed me a flannel sleeping bag liner out of a flannel sheet from Walmart, and it's really warm and comfy.
Hell yeah, DIY mom, I love it. Yeah, well, thank you so much, that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you guys could paint this picture, give us a little bit of context as to what, start with the basics and kind of like fill in the color as we go.
Basics of what?
What is Trail Days?
Oh, Trail Days. Yeah, I forgot what we were talking about for a second there.
Oh, really? Let me just try to remember real quick.
Trail Days is like a combination of family reunion and kind of a group therapy that you didn't really know you needed.
I'm going to go less abstract from that. Let's just start with the most basic.
It's a gathering.
It's a gathering for, it's an AT conference, okay? It's
there you go.
It's planned to meet the bubble of
a reunion.
It's Comic-Con for hikers.
I like that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. But I mean,
yeah, it is that.
But most basically, it's a conference held in Damascus, Virginia, which is a trail town, a town that literally you walk through on the Appalachian Trail. I think it's time to kind of meet the bubble. Like, I met so many hikers today that were actually walking through Damascus. Like, they had timed their hike, so they were walking through town to be here on time. Ah. It's also, yeah, as you're saying, it's a reunion. There's so many former thru-hikers and just AT enthusiasts, people from the area that just wanted to learn a little bit more about the AT culture. But yeah, I think Comic-Con for thru-hikers is a good analogy. I've always used Burning Man, but that might be just focusing
it's
on
a little too far.
Yeah.
It's a little too far.
Yeah, right.
Comic-Con for hikers is just about right, I think.
Okay. Okay, now we've built a good foundation. I think people get a rough idea.
If you build it. About in scale, too. Like, there will be, if the weather is nice, there will be 15,000 people in town for this weekend. And it's a town that has, what, two stoplights? One, maybe?
I don't even know if that was a stoplight. I thought that was just like a
there is one stoplight.
Yellow.
There is one stoplight. Like there's two.
The hikers leave. Yeah. There are more cows than humans here.
I think it's like 700. Really kind
of it's a beautiful small little town nestled, literally tucked in between two creeks that converge right there in the heart of town, basically. And then like you have the mountains that just like nest are perched right above it. Mm-hmm. Like you might not be able to see it because of all the foliage because it's just like it's the Appalachian Trail and like there's leaves on everything. I swear to God, I feel like I've never seen anything so green in my life than when we drive.
It is amazing.
They do call it the green tunnel.
Yeah.
No, I just mean in general, like it is so green out here. Yeah. I spent a winter in the Tetons, like where it's just white. And then I was in Colorado and now I'm back east where I'm from, but like it is so damn green. It feels like I've never seen anything so green.
Colorado's as green as it'll ever get right now. Like I just left Colorado at its jungliest. It's not brown, but it's
olive
densely.
Drab.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. But like coming out here, you're right. It's a different world. It feels like
green.
A jungle. It's amazing.
It really does.
It's beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So trail days.
Trail days.
Yeah. What happens here?
Back on thread. So did you guys come here as when you were through hiking?
We both started. I'm going to use air quotes, late.
Okay.
Thank you for telling us.
So, I mean, there's
no you have to do it. You have
there's
to
no
do it.
Right
you can't
time.
See the air quotes.
Right.
Yeah, you can't.
You got to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm winking right now.
What was your start?
I started on May 5th.
And
fifth
I started on May
9th?
The 10th.
Fifth for me then.
All right.
Yeah. So while Trail Days was going on, we weren't even at Hot Springs yet.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
We were probably still in Georgia.
Jabba, what about you?
What did I do?
Did you go to trail? It wasn't me. Did you go to Trail Days when you were through hiking?
Absolutely. I made Miss Janet come pick my ass up back at hiked so slow through the whole first half of my hike. And like, you know, I started March 17th and I had just gotten to Bob People's Place. Uh-huh. The Wednesday before
King
Trail
Days. Hustle.
Yeah, correct.
Not
yeah.
too far.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, it felt like it was like
on
a week
foot,
away.
It's pretty far.
Well, yeah.
And if you guys want, we've now brought up Miss Janet's name a couple times. If you want more context, listen to Stories from the Trail. Is it the most
Mother's
recent
Day special?
Mother's Day
episode
special.
Number.
That
11,
lady. That yeah. lady.
It's the
I don't
episode
care.
That has Miss Janet in the title.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't care what you think about that lady. She's incredible.
Oh my gosh.
I love that woman so much.
You can't meet her and not love her. That's impossible.
Don't nobody not love Miss Janet.
Exactly.
Seriously.
Get enough negatives in there and it'll make sense.
I've never had reason to say a single horrible, weird or
never.
Terrible thing about that woman. And she's just awesome.
She's got a huge heart. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jabba, you were, so what was your experience of Trail Days as a hiker?
Can this be off the record?
No.
Because it might want to be.
Mm-mm. This is all on the record. Whatever is going to come out of your mouth is permanent.
I had a swell time. That's all you're getting out of me.
can we zoom out a little bit?
All right. It was a little better than swell, though there was swelling. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, I got punched in the face.
Uh-huh.
Just
right.
kidding. Didn't get punched in the face. I'm not really sure where that was going, but I'm sure everything has been inferred at this point. I don't know what I'm saying right now. So, okay. Look, I had a...
So you had a pretty wild time. Your first
I had
days,
a pretty
guessing.
Wild time on Wednesday night beforehand. Okay. And that continued basically all the way through the entire weekend.
Yeah.
But trail doesn't have to be like that either. It's
trail days... Kind of like as a current through hiker, I feel like that's kind of the experience, which I say that as almost a cautionary tale for current and aspiring through hikers who are looking to avoid that scene. I would probably advise you that maybe Trail Days isn't the best experience.
You don't have
you.
To, by the way, I haven't done that since then,
right?
In terms of at Trail Days, and I've been to four other
trail we're at Trail Days right now in Abingdon.
We're just chilling. We're
yeah,
not
we're
doing anything crazy at all.
Miles away from, there's craziness happening right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are right people dancing around.
I'm getting texts from people who are like, why aren't you doing craziness?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wish.
But you are doing craziness.
What do you mean, dude?
Oh, look how silly we're getting tonight. Woo.
The bottle of George Jekyll has been getting lower. Yeah.
You know you're having a good time when the word silly is being brought up.
You're a silly
so
goose.
Silly. Yeah. So silly.
So I think there are good reasons to go to Trail Days as a current thru-hiker, and those would be to get gear repaired, maybe get some free gear.
I did all that too.
By the way, Daniel, if you're listening, I brought my Gregory packs to Trail Days. I'm getting them fixed.
Yeah.
I'll explain that later.
I have to still listen to the Daniel episode. I'm sorry. Want to get the ball rolling. What's your trail name?
My trail name's Paul Bunyan.
How'd you get that?
I went through a couple of different names, but I was just breaking up wood in the forest without an axe, you know.
For a little bit of context, how tall are you?
6'3", maybe.
That helps. do you have a big blue ox by chance? There he is. One of his trail buddies is dressed in all blue. Okay, do you have a favorite story from the trail?
Oh, man, so many stories. Goodness. yeah, so the first Nor'easter that came through, man.
Yeah, sure.
That was
when did you start?
I started March 3rd.
March 3rd, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, we're just kind of hiking and... And then this cold weather came through, you know, and my knees were kind of shot at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
And it was good. Also, Gooch Mountain Shelter. That's a good one. Nobody told me that was a place where the Rangers, you know, they do their practice combat or whatever like that, you know? Huh. Automatic gunfire all night long, and I didn't know what was going on. I grabbed my rain jacket and I went and hid in the woods for about an hour.
You thought they were coming for you.
I thought, yeah, man, I didn't know what was going on, man.
I guess you hear stories on in the Appalachia that's, I guess, not out of the realm of possibility.
Right, yeah. I mean, that was when I first got on the trail. I didn't really do any, I didn't do much research about what was going on.
That's a good one. But so, no, I mean, if we're being real about what Trail Days is, because I think Backpacker Magazine wrote an article about Trail Days last year. And I think they were portraying Trail Days as what the AT experience is.
Oh, that article was... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
No, please. Please happen.
I have an emotional reaction to that article. And just hearing you mention it kind of made me... I think this is where you were going with it. Like, that it is so the opposite of what the typical AT experience
totally.
Is. And they made this article like there's going to be bonfires and hallucinogens and... No.
Right. By the way, you can find those things at Trail Days, but that's not the typical AT experience.
Well, like life, it's there if you go looking for
right,
it.
Right,
you
right, right.
If you just go do your thing, you'll be fine.
Totally.
Have you done the full craziness?
So, kind of. So when I hiked, I stayed in Tent City. You know, I like to drink. You guys know this about me, but I'm not
watching what's happening.
Yeah,
here.
I'm not. I have my limits, even at that.
I don't know about all that.
all right.
I just want that. Can I have that for our soundboard?
Please. I mean, when you have your bachelor party in Cabo next time, right. You let me know.
Different context, right? but no, I mean, like, so I went to Trail Days. To be honest with you, I was over it pretty quickly. Like, it's just noisy. There's drunk people, like,
calling
all over your tent. And especially... At that time, like I was doing a lot of meditation, and I think I was pretty zenned out at that point. And being around that insanity was a little bit overwhelming to me. I didn't even participate in the parade that year. Like I was sitting in Mojo's Cafe. I don't even think it was Mojo's. It's Mojo's now, but you know the coffee shop, off the
subway there,
right at the edge of town.
Totally. So I actually wrote. The Virginia Blues chapter while people were marching in that parade, just because like it was uncomfortable for me, and like I
makes it so much sadder.
I be tat, which stands for I've been to a town. A lot of people assume it's because I have tattoos, but it has nothing to do with that.
I actually assume that myself. So exactly.
I'll tell you the story. Okay, yeah. So if you're familiar with the movie Jeremiah Johnson, not a lot of these young guys know that movie. Robert Redford plays a mountain man after the Civil War, fur trapper, all this stuff. So the whole movie is getting attacked by Indians, right? The whole movie, and his mountain man buddy's like, maybe Jeremiah, you should get out of these mountains, go to a town somewhere. He looks him dead in the eye and he says, "I've been to a town. I'm not going back." So I've been to a town. It's one of my favorite movies, and that's where it comes from.
Uh-huh. Did you assign that to yourself?
Well, it's from my YouTube channel, so everybody knows me from that. I've had multiple trail names, F-bomb, F-word, all that stuff, but IBTAT is what they know me for.
Got
so.
You.
It stuck.
And when did you start the trail?
I started April 3rd. I wanted to avoid all that cold weather, which didn't really happen. I still got snow, but whatever.
Yeah. All right, put you on the spot. Your favorite story from your thru hike so far?
Okay, so I think I mentioned this on the podcast earlier, but the whole bear in the home hotel room in Gatlinburg.
Let's do a new one because I don't want any repeats.
Okay, I heard that. Let's see. You are definitely putting me on the spot.
Yeah,
here.
It's hard when you. Probably
okay, I'll talk. I rolled into Damascus yesterday, right? And I'd never been. I've been to Damascus a few times, but never for Trail Days. So I got to see what the hoopla is about. Well, I will tell you, this is not a Trail Days festival. This is Burning Man in the Woods. And I didn't know it was possible to still find Quaaludes, but apparently these SOBs back here found out how to get some.
And I had my duplex kicked over last night by a bunch of drunk fucks. It was just, yeah, it's a hooliganism at its best.
Being the sober guy at Trail Days has got to be a little bit isolating, right?
It's not that bad. I kind of do my own thing. I've always hiked alone, so I always hike by myself. At camp, it can get kind of crazy. There's always moonshine being passed around. There's always a joint being lit up. I'm 4 years sober. It doesn't affect me anymore.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And your favorite piece of gear so far?
Okay, so the duplex is kicking ass, and the Hyperlite pack is kicking ass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those three pieces of gear, I know they're the two most expensive pieces of gear you can buy, but you get what you pay for. They're awesome. I haven't a single complaint.
What's the patch on
you? So Roscoe P. Waggletails is my basset hound, right? Uh-huh. That was the hardest part about coming out on trails, leaving him behind. He's always hiked with me since he was 7 weeks old. Well, the sitter lives in Knoxville. She met me up on Max Patch. So this little fucker, basset hound, short stubby legs, did 20 miles from Max Patch into Hot Springs with me. I had it for 2 days, and it was killer. If you guys watched it on YouTube, that video came out just the other day. I lost my shit. I bawled my eyes out when I saw him. So don't bust my balls about that. But
how old is the pup?
He's 4 years old now, and I got him when 7 weeks old. You know as well as I do. Dogs, they're party.
Oh my god, dude.
Going on trail was the hardest part for me.
I totally get that. Are you going to see him further down the trail?
They had offered to bring him up farther on the trail, but the farther I get north, it's just a logistical nightmare. Right, so I probably won't see him again. I hope so, though.
Well, people hear enough of you on the podcast as is, so we'll end the interview here.
If you guys aren't sick of me yet, I'll be here. I'll be here all summer long. Yeah, so.
Good to see you, brother.
Yeah, brother.
And maybe you guys experienced this after your thru-hike, but wasn't it really uncomfortable to go back into your traditional life, not living in the woods?
Oh, extremely.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I went right back.
And you haven't stopped.
I mean, I'm serious.
I believe it.
I had troubles adjusting physically and mentally.
Right.
Totally.
You know, Katie, maybe you can remind me if I'm not, like, I know that I used to wake up in the middle of the night not understanding why there were so many walls. Like, the wall at my feet should have been missing.
Right.
Like, I'm not, the shelter's weird. There's four walls. And I would just, like, kick the covers off. Wow. And I would like push Katie away and like, stop touching me.
It's claustrophobic, right?
Yeah.
But then like during the day, I would go and just stand on the porch and not like kind of come to, like, I don't know how long I've been out here.
What?
Like just cause I needed wind and sunshine, and, you know, so it was time to go back into the office and like stare at a glowing rectangle again.
Yeah.
I short circuited.
Yeah.
Like I was having legitimate panic attacks and, you know, like nightmares and night sweats.
Interesting. How did you get over that?
I wound up quitting again. Like I had to leave the office world and like find a way to make, you know, get myself as close to the trail 24/7 as I can. Uh-huh. If I'm not on it, I'm thinking about it, talking about it.
Yeah. You know, and now you live in a compound.
Let's
live in a forest.
Let's make it clear though, that like why that happened, like the way you feel when you're on the trail just feels so natural. And the converse of that feels totally the opposite. It doesn't feel like it's grounding or centering in any way. It doesn't feel like it makes sense on like a natural level. And that's why that couldn't happen to someone who, you know, I think you're a pretty well-adjusted person. And I'm pretty sure that you can handle shit that's like within a normal person's wheelhouse, you know? And like, that's just not normal. You know, no, living in that world is not normal. Right. It really isn't. Like, we created that as a human species, you know?
I think you guys are both touching on why people constantly say that thru-hiking ruins your life.
I don't agree with that.
But, I mean, it's just a different way of saying.
I don't like that.
You don't like the way it's phrased.
I don't like that connotation.
Sure, but like. What
and that's fine, but for me, I don't like that connotation.
Sure, but what it does is it exposes
I think it saved my life. That's how I look at it.
And I think that's you're looking at the same thing in a different
way. But see, I just choose that other side.
And I understand that. And I think people mean it endearingly.
I agree, but like it's still for me that that's why I don't know. I just gravitate towards the other way.
I get it. But I mean,
it tears you down to your foundation so you can rebuild.
Totally.
It ruins you in the same way boot camp ruins you.
Yeah. Yeah. I could go there too. Yeah, sure.
Guys, this has been awesome. This is everything I hoped it would be. I hope I get to hang out with you more tomorrow. I know Trail Days is kind of craziness, but this has been fun.
Well, we'll try to make our part of it not as crazy, but as fun.
Good. Check out Stories from the Trail.
That's us.
Podcast brought to you by The Trek. Check out Jabba. You guys know where.
Just check out Jabba.
You guys know where you can find Jabba at this point.
And if you don't, he'll find you.
Coming to an annoying place near you.
Sorry we couldn't have Chance on this podcast. Chance, we missed you.
Hey, Chance. I'm going to make fun of you on the internet soon.
Something about the way you said that. So sexy.
Hey, hope you got a big trunk because I'm going to put my bike in it.
And with that, we are signing off. Happy hiking, everyone.